I know for the past few weeks, actually past month and a half, since February, we've been studying David at our Winter Fridays through the book of Samuel. And the psalm that we read today, Psalm 27, was written by him. Out of 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, around 73 are attributed to David. You'll see all the psalms bearing his name. So when you think about it, that's almost like half the entire book. So that goes to show what a talented poet he was. David had that artistic sensibility and theological insight. When I look at David's life, I mean, also going through this book of Samuel together, I see one common theme. And that is that God was always with him. And I'm sure at your Bible study, this has been reiterated many times, that God was always with him and looked after him. David lived his life with this understanding in all circumstances, not just in good days, but even when he was in bad, going through bad days. That's what he lived with. God wasn't this entity that was just far and distant from his life. God was intimately connected and involved in his life. We kind of get this sense when we read right at the beginning of today's psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even in the midst of danger, David never lost his confidence. Knowing that God was with him in any and every situation gave him strength. It gave him the courage to fight Goliath, someone that everyone was afraid of and ran away from. It gave him the courage to fight Goliath when no one else wanted to. Not only that, when he was to his advantage to kill Saul, who was chasing him and wanted him dead, he didn't kill him. This gave him the wisdom to actually spare Saul's life, even when it was to his advantage. So all of this knowing that God was with him made him the spiritual rock that he was. But my question is, what does it mean for us to know that God is with us? Because this is something that we hear very often when you go to church. God is with you all the time. God is always with you. But what does that mean? What is implied in that expression? I asked myself that question this week. And I realized to know that God is with us is to know that we are loved. There is no difference. These two sayings, they're intimately connected. That we are loved reveals itself in the way that God looks after us and cares for us. Knowing this is the foundation of our faith. It is the source of our confidence in the midst of trouble. If this is not there, where will we find courage or the strength to endure any difficulties that come our way? David knew that he was loved. Knowing that he was loved was not some kind of head knowledge, that he read it in a book and realized, oh, okay, God loves me. He experienced God's love surrounding him all throughout his life. That's why he often talks about being in, like, surrounded in his shelter and refuge and all these metaphors and imagery that seems to surround you and protect you. David experienced God's love surrounding him all throughout his life. Not only in his successes and victories, because he had his moments, but especially in situations that seemed impossible and life-threatening. We've looked at many different situations that David went through. David was saved numerous times when Saul wanted him dead. And as you looked at last Friday, when he thought he had to go in war against his own people, he was somehow at last moment just pulled back from the front lines. So when he was lost and unsure what to do, David saw God's hand rescuing him, like a ray of light piercing through darkness. God's steadfast love became real to him. It almost became embedded in him through those moments. Today's psalm, we don't know the exact background or actual context, but when we read it, we get this sense that he is once again in some kind of danger. People are against him, and they want his life. Yet he does not easily waver in his confidence. He's not perfect, but in situations like this, he does not easily waver in his confidence. He knows that he is loved, and that God will ultimately take care of him. He said in verse 5, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." And then later on, he said this, "If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." Whenever difficulties come, what is usually our reaction? The first thing we do is panic. No matter how strong we act on the outside, no matter how calm and composed we might be, the first thing we do is we panic. We become fearful. We lose perspective and get overwhelmed. Even the smallest problems become amplified into this big one. We look for solutions to try to get rid of our problems as quickly as possible. But in the process, what we end up doing is we make rash and impulsive decisions. We end up complicating our situations even more than before. And we feel more powerless and helpless than when we were at first. I believe that all this comes from the belief that we are alone. That's why we ask ourselves, whenever we go through difficult times, it's that one question that we ask ourselves. Why me? Why is this happening to me? Not somebody else, but why is it happening to me? It's because we feel totally isolated, just on our own. Is God really with me? In other words, beneath all of these questions, what we're really asking is, am I loved? Am I loved by God? And the person who really exemplified that was Saul. Saul lived in constant fear. But where did that stem from? It stemmed from his belief that he was totally alone, and he had to fend for himself. Unlike David, God was very much removed from his reality. Only thing that he had was just himself. His life became all about him trying to deal with his problems. But as we have seen, it didn't better his situation. It only led him further and further into darkness. And what did it do? It ultimately destroyed him. In that sense, dealing with the challenges of life, I realize not so much a question of what we should do. Dealing with the challenges of life is a question of who we are. It's not a matter of finding effective solutions and methods, but it has to do with our identity. When the storms come, what is the thing that ultimately gets rattled? It's our sense of self. Everything else in our life feels shaky as a result. But if our identity is firmly rooted, we can withstand any storm. But if our identity is fragile, we'll be knocked down by even the faintest of storms. That is what our high C students reflected on at the retreat last weekend. The theme was, be who you are. This was the theme that just came as I was preparing for the retreat. to be a rock, we need to cultivate a healthy and strong identity. It's because adolescence is perhaps the most formative time for that. Yesterday, we had our district group meeting, and one person asked me, are there any high Cs that really give you a hard time? So I said, no, they're good kids. You guys don't give me a hard time at all. But even if they do, it's not because they purposely want to make your life difficult. It's because teenage years are very turbulent times. They're trying to find themselves, and their identity is not settled and developed. Cultivating a healthy sense of self, we reflected that begins with hearing who God says that we are. And what is the first thing that God tells us? I see, I'm going to test you guys. I know it's been a week. What's the first thing? It's knowing you are. Louder, through this rain. Knowing you are loved, that's right. As Jesus heard at his baptism too, it says in Mark, and a voice came from the heavens, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Even Jesus heard that he was loved. We are not loved because of anything that we have done or because we are brilliant and capable. It is because that is who God is. God is love, as we already know. We were loved even before we were born. God didn't create us and said, I'm going to love you now. We were loved even before we were born. Our very existence, the fact that we're sitting here, is the most concrete evidence of God's love for us. And to know that we are loved is where everything starts. It is the bedrock of our life and our identity. Do you know that you're loved? Do you believe that you're loved? Remind yourself daily of this truth. Say, I am loved. This morning, I asked KSM congregation to repeat after me, and they're very good. So let's see if we can do the same as well. Let's say, I am loved. Let's say it again. I am loved.
I am loved.
Say this to yourself every morning when you wake up. Remind yourself of this truth every morning as you go through the day and at the end of the night. I think it can be a very good spiritual practice for this Lenten season. When we rest in God's love, the power of fear will lose its grip over us. It will no longer control or dictate the way we go about our life. I realize that the most visible indication of the absence of love in our life is the presence of fear. From there comes hatred, anger, envy, and jealousy. But when love is fully present, fear cannot exercise its power fully. John said this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Love is not just something that we feel from time to time and discern, oh, then I am loved. Whether you feel it or not, God's love always surrounds you. That will never change. There is never a moment when you are away or apart from God. God's love will accompany us through all the stages of our life, from birth to even death. That's why David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. Hearing this, I thought about what St. Paul said. Like David, St. Paul didn't have an easy life. Yet all throughout his life, he lived with this deep understanding that he was loved. He knew that nothing in this life could ever separate him from God. We've all heard this passage from Romans before, but this was what he wrote. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In both passages, you get a sense of their awareness that no circumstance that we ever experience or go through can ever separate us from God's presence that surrounds us. There is a word that I think captures the mood of today very well, and that is uncertainty. Not that our life was more certain before. I mean, uncertainty is the nature of our life. But what is happening around us, I mean, as you have heard over the past few weeks and even in our prayers, seems to amplify the feeling of uncertainty all the more. People are stressed and on edge. They're struggling financially, but I find that they're struggling mentally as well. They seem burdened and down. In some ways, this period that we are in right now feels like the next big challenge that we are facing since the COVID pandemic. Every week is an assault on our senses, on our mind. And how we choose to go through this period, I think, will be very important. How we decide to go through this period will make all the difference. Even though our circumstances may tell us otherwise, remember that you're loved. You don't have to do anything except to first simply rest in God's love. Find refuge in God rather than trying to deal with everything by yourself. Learn to be still rather than frantic and look solely to God. And as David said, be strong and courageous. He ends today's psalm with this: wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. To be able to wait and to persevere, we need courage. And where does that courage come from? The courage comes from knowing that we're loved. Otherwise, it just becomes a pretense of trying to just look strong in the face of all troubles. You're not alone. As we've seen through David's life, God is always with you. God will stretch out his hand and deliver you. God's goodness will surround us and follow us to the very end. And God will help you to come out of the storm stronger than you did before. More than any other time, it's very fitting that this year, 2025, we're journeying with this theme called Be the Rock. Because this is really the time for us to be shaped into a rock. And I pray that we can all be shaped in our faith into rock-like people. Not stubborn people, but people who are steadfast, rooted and grounded through all the storms that we may face along the way.